UWA-517, do you want to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
7-1 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was anybody at above us to pass us like 30 seconds ago?
7-1 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Merger 1095. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. See, I passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Do we just call about the UFOs we saw?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there, taking airplanes.
And it is such. Bob, I swear to God, 4 calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
4 calls?
4 calls on an unidentified flying object.
Let's not take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com.
Hello everyone and welcome to the show, wherever in the world you are listening from. I hope you're all doing okay. My name is Nick Hunter and this is the UFO Chronicles podcast. The first guest we're going to be meeting is Eric from the state of Maine, and Eric has 2 UFO sightings to share with us that he witnessed on 2 different occasions. Then we head out west to California to speak to Steve about a sighting of a large diamond-shaped object he witnessed 50 feet above his neighbor's house. Self-illuminated and made no sound whatsoever. Eric, up next. If you enjoy listening to the podcast and would like to help support my work, there is a couple of ways to do this. Either you can join Patreon and become a patron of the show for as little as $5 a month, or you can donate via PayPal. And if you like, you can set up monthly recurring payments. All links to support the podcast are below in the show notes and on the website. Any help is extremely appreciated, and it helps the show to continue running. Now, on with the show. Hello, Eric, and welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you for joining us today, and you're calling from the state of Maine.
I am. That is correct.
Wonderful. Now, Eric, you have a couple of UFO sightings to share with us. Would you like to start at the beginning, please?
Sure. So 2 of them, honestly, so kind of strange, 20 years apart about. First one happened around 2002, 2003. It was in the fall. Me and my friends were headed to a football game. We were probably 20 minutes away or so. Out in the woods out here in Maine, we passing lakes and, you know, not many houses, whatnot. So we come up over this hill and I'm in the passenger seat and I just happen to look out to my right. Well, there's water on both sides of the road, and on the right was a smaller bog. And in the back right corner, I could see 2 orbs just glowing. It was, one was purplish color and the other one was like an orange yellowish color. I would say they're probably 10, 15 feet apart. They were right in the corner of that bog, and they just started turning. As soon as we came up over that hill, they started turning, rotating around each other, and they hovered just above the tree line. They kind of turned in a really slow type of fashion. They got up above the tree line and gone. They were in the stars. I could just blink and look and just see, like, almost not like a trail, kind of like slow motion, but I know it was happening very fast. Faster than I could really comprehend, but as soon as it was above that tree line, it just, you know, gone right out into space. I was like, oh, I'm go. My brother was driving. I said, just go fast, get out of here. I was just freaking out. Never saw anything weird like that before that. I've, you know, told a few people, close friends and family, and I think about it all the time. It's just insane what I witnessed. I was baffled. My buddy in the back seat said he saw something, but didn't quite catch the beginning of it. My brother and the guy, it was my buddy in the back seat, didn't, on the left-hand side, didn't see anything either. But it was just ridiculous. That kind of what got me into like looking at UFOs and just paranormal stuff like that, and just kind of opened my eyes really to the world and how small we possibly could be and just how little advanced we really are compared to everything. So it just really puts a lot of weird stuff into perspective. So that was the first time I ever saw anything like that. And so for the next 18 to 20 years of my life, I was just, you know, interested, confused. I think about this all the time. I mean, I don't want to say it haunts me, but it haunts me. Not like to a scary point, but to a interesting feel and just want to learn more. So this second thing happened to me. It was about 2019, probably right before the pandemic. And I got out of work early. It was a Friday. I just got home. My family wanted pizza. So they called in pizza down the store 3 miles away. And I go down the store and it was ready. And I got pizza. I'm on my way back. And just above the interstate, you know, I was going over an overpass. I saw something just like ahead of me, just way up, kind of like where a plane would be, but further out. And I could see it, but it was coming at me. I was like, what the heck? It was a small, like beach ball size object. Okay. And this thing came right next to my car and I literally had to swerve to miss it. I was probably going like 35, 40 miles an hour, maybe faster, you know, but I literally had to like hit the brakes and swerve and I almost hit a guardrail and I got as far to the guardrail as I could. And the thing got inches away from my driver's side and I was able to kind of just turn my head and glance down. And it was like a grayish clay, light brown color. And it was like a beach ball size. And around the rim was like these weird, dark reddish line symbols, hieroglyphs, whatever they are, around the edge, like the equator would be, like around the rim of this ball. And I'm like, what? And I turned my head and I just look in my rearview mirror and it was gone. I didn't see it behind me after that. I just was like, what moving faster than the speed limit would allow? But I got home quickly and I explained to my family, hey, you know, I just saw this crazy thing in the sky, blah, blah, blah. You know, what time is it? I wasn't gone for like any period of time. They're like, no, it's fine. What's going on? And I just told them everything that happened, what I saw. And they were really kind of just surprised. But my wife was like, kind of, you know, trying to keep me from staying from the kids a little bit. But I mean, I was just like, wow, this is what happened. Oh my gosh. Like, you guys aren't going to believe this. And that was just really strange. I've never seen anything like that. And it came from way, like just down to like the ground, like 6 inches above the ground, 2 seconds. And I just missed it. I had to swerve to miss it. It was right in the middle to close to the, in my lane. So that was, yeah.
That must have shook you up.
Yeah, just talking about it. It's, yeah. Insane. I don't know how else to describe it. I mean, what if I would have hit this thing? You know, like if I didn't swerve.
You don't know what kind of damage it could have done to your car.
I have no idea. I don't want to speculate.
And you said a gray clay color.
Yeah, it was like a, I don't know how else to describe it, but there's, like a light clay, grayish, lightest brown you could mix with a medium colored gray color. I mean, it wasn't shiny. It was like a beach ball size.
When it was coming at you, was it coming at you from a height, or was it level?
Yep, because it was a nice clear day. It was fall. I could see the mountains in front of me. I'm at a beautiful spot. We're at kind of a higher elevation in the state, and it was about, say, a mountain tall, say add another mountain on top of that. And that's how tall it was where it came from my, you know, distance to the mountain being 5-10 miles away or something like that. Or whatever. I have no idea. I could figure it out, but yeah.
Okay. And you managed to get a look at it. Now, when you got a look at it, was it through the windscreen or the side window?
It was my driver's side window. So it would have been, on the left-hand side being in America, driving on the right-hand side, to the road. I looked right out through my left window, and I could see down through my door. I drive a small, WRX STI. It's low to the ground. I wasn't on a big truck or anything like that. I could literally look down and see, oh my God, what is this?
And when you swerved and dodged a collision. You obviously didn't get a chance to see what happened to it.
No, because I looked in my rearview mirror as soon as I couldn't see behind me, I left and turned my head anymore. Make sure I'm on the road. I looked in my rearview mirror and I looked in the back of the road and I couldn't see anything. It looked like nothing was there. It was just the road and trees and a house, a couple of mailboxes, nothing in the road.
It certainly is incredible. And when you said like a hieroglyphic type lettering on it.
Yeah. Like some slashes, like maybe like a triangle, circle, maybe it's like some shapes, but shaped a little bit differently. If I were to, they weren't filled in. It was just,
And it doesn't look like any language you've seen before.
No. I mean, I don't know any other languages, but it doesn't look like anything I've ever seen.
Interesting. Now, your first encounter, it was the two balls of light, one purple, one orange color.
Yeah. It was like a mix between orange and yellow, if I were to describe it. The purple was more of a purple.
And they were just right above the bog.
Yep.
What kind of distance from your position in the road to these orbs?
100 feet, probably.
Okay, so yes, you got a good look. Not too far away. And what kind of size would you have said?
I would have said they're probably 15 to 20 feet apart. Apart from each other. They both turned and rotated the same direction. I can't remember which direction, but they both, seemed to go around each other like a corkscrew up. And then as soon as they got above the trees, I just...
First thing people would say would be swamp gas, but swamp gas doesn't shoot out by that.
There's no gas. I've played in the woods all my life. You could probably stand up in the water, over on that side. Yeah. I mean, I could even probably take up a GPS and show you. I've drove by there, the rest of my life since, and I keep looking out there. It's grown in since. There's more trees closer to the road now. It looks completely different. But someone once asked me if I'd ever go out there. I said, no way. I said, I'll point it out to you from the road, but I'm not going out there. It's like I'd never canoe out or wade out. Or I wouldn't ever. I'm sure it's nothing. It's
Have you ever heard of any possible accounts around that area?
No, I'm really the only one that I know personally that's ever witnessed anything like this. I moved around quite a bit. I know a lot of people have not. This was in high school. I went to college. I've told my buddies in college they've never heard anything about it, never witnessed anything like that. Just unreal. It's crazy.
Well, I have plenty of accounts on this show.
Yeah.
Some very similar
where
things.
Like it gets really close to somebody like that, where it comes down and gets really close and takes off or vanishes, or
almost weekly I get them.
Wow.
I'm doing a guy at the minute, and he was in a car and he had a light behind him. I had one from the UK who had this really bright light behind him, and things came up close to the side of his car.
Yeah.
I get these accounts all the time. People see him in the woods. People see these things in the desert.
Yeah. So with the first encounter, it was probably, just starting to get dark. We were headed towards a football game. It was a night game, so hadn't quite gotten dark yet, but it was, sun was starting to go down. And the second one, probably a little bit earlier, probably, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock at night. Sun was still up, broad daylight, basically.
Okay, now the first ones, the light that you were seeing, did it seem to be emitting it internally?
I don't really think I saw anything in the middle. I questioned myself on it, but no shadow. I was in the car. I was going by. I really didn't see the middle. I saw the light. Definitely saw the light. Nothing in the middle that I could tell. And when it got up and just took off, it was blurred just into the sky, gone.
At a very accelerated rate.
Yeah, and it went up, so it wasn't just straight away from me, so I could see it, kind of going up a little bit as it took off. So it wasn't just like, just didn't just disappear. It lifted as it went, let's say, a million miles. Probably went 500 miles high. It went, it was up there.
And your friends in the car, was it only yourself that saw it?
No, so there were four of us in the car, my brother and my two friends in the back. My brother was driving. It was actually my car. He had just gotten his license. But my friend in the back right behind me, said he saw like this blur, like this light, just light take off or something. So he probably saw it, you know, when I saw it leave, he probably picked up on that, what I come to figure.
And when you saw it, did you point it out to him? Or were you just look, just staring in amazement?
I was just, you know, looking and I'm like, what? I didn't say anything. I'm looking at him like, what the, you know, get out and go. What do you guys see that? What did you know? You know, I was just, I mean, accelerated heart rate pretty quickly, I'd explain. So, amazement, shock, awe.
After your first sighting, it kind of captured your attention to the subject.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was just one of those things, you know, growing up, you know, you never dress up as aliens, you know, Halloween or whatever, you know, alien movies, you know, it is what it is, it could be, but you see something like that, you're like, holy, wow, like, talk about this.
And it's one of those things as well, when you see something like this, you know, it will bug you for the rest of your life.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, not knowing what it was.
Yep, outside at night, just looking at the stars, like, what if it happened right now? You know, what if something just right now happened? I don't know. Like, what would I do?
You don't want to go back to the original location, so maybe happy from a distance.
Yeah, hundreds of times before. I don't live out that area anymore, so I don't travel out that way. But yeah, once in a while.
It's very interesting. Wow. And what do you think it was?
From my speculation, from everything I've seen and heard in internet forums and movies and just my own thoughts, it's maybe some type of scanner or some type of device for something I can't comprehend. Has to do with me or who knows? I don't know. Strange.
Yeah, it's a difficult one, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Or did this thing just, you know, happen to come down here by coincidence and I just happened to be here and it accidentally hit me? You know, you're right.
it was heading in one direction and you were heading that direction.
Yeah. But the fact that I've seen something strange before, you know, if that second encounter would have been my first encounter, maybe I would have thought a little bit differently, but I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the first one, you could have just been, you know, in just passing by and they were doing whatever, you know, above the bog and you just kind of passed by and scared them off, whatever.
Yep. Oh, right. Oh, there's cars coming. See ya.
Yeah, the second one seemed to have made a complete beeline for you.
Yeah. And honestly, I don't think there was many people around us anyways, because we were headed to a football game a couple towns away with our friends. So I don't know. You know, I really appreciate talking to you kind of more than just, you know, the recording portion or whatever. But, you know, thank you for, you know, kind of your insight and whatnot. It's really kind of unique to hear that other people are experiencing and seeing maybe some similar thing. Certainly strange.
Eric, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing those accounts for our listeners.
Thank you, guys.
You're welcome, Eric.
Thank you.
Okay. You take care of yourself and enjoy the rest of your evening.
Have a great day. Bye.
Introducing the High Strangeness Coffee Blend by Redacted Coffee Company, a medium roast of the Brazilian kind. This medium roast offers flavors of chocolate and vanilla combined with a distinct fruity taste and a unique sweet floral aroma. The experience of High Strangeness doesn't end there, with a sweet butter aftertaste that doesn't fade as your coffee cools. This coffee regains its flavors all the way through your cup, ensuring it truly is good to the last drop. The veteran-funded, employee-owned Redacted Coffee Company and UFO Chronicles podcast have partnered together to bring you the best coffee on and off the planet. Get 20% off your first order now at redactedcoffee.com/UFO. That's redactedcoffee.com/UFO. Or follow the link below in this episode's description or click on the banner of my website. This podcast is fueled by coffee oozing high strangeness. So what are you waiting for? Wake up to the strange. Welcome to the show, Steve.
Well, thank you. I've been really looking forward to this chance to talk to you.
And I've been looking forward to having you on. And thank you for coming on today. And you're calling from California in the United States.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Now, Steve, you're going to be sharing your experiences for our listeners. Would you like to start at the very beginning, please, sir?
Yeah. This first thing I'm going to talk about, and I should say I'm not that great at dates, but I'm going to put it somewhere in the 2010 to 2011 time area. And I was in New York and I was filming an interview for a documentary I was producing called Paul and the Word. And it's about a channeler, a psychic channeler named Paul Selleck, who communicates and writes books with spiritual energy beings. He calls guides from the Christ consciousness. Anyways, So this was a no budget type of production. And I was operating as what we call in the business, a one man band. That means I was doing everything from the filming, the setting up and monitoring the sound, conducting the actual on camera interviews. So the whole project. And then, as you can imagine, that can get quite stressful at times. So in this one particular day, I was interviewing three associates of Paul about their experiences, and everything seemed to be going quite well with the recording and so on. And we took a short break, and I was just sitting there checking the storage cards from the camera and the audio recording just to make sure that, you know, that I captured everything. And suddenly I couldn't find a huge important section of what we had just recorded. I totally thought that I had messed something up, like I hadn't hit the right buttons or something, or somehow it got deleted. Anyways, I can't explain how how anxious I was, and my anxiety was going up and up. And the interview subjects, you know, they were still sitting on the couch talking amongst themselves, not really paying much attention to me. And frankly, I have to say that I was so upset about the possibility of what happened that I probably began hyperventilating. In fact, I'm pretty sure I did. I was sweating. And I mean, if it went on much longer, I might have even fainted. I was that upset. I mean, if you're thinking about, well, he was having a panic attack, you know, I wouldn't argue with you. All I know is that it was not a pleasant, very pleasant thing to go through. In any case, so I stood up and I went towards the camera. It was still on the tripod, and I was checking something. I don't know what I was checking, frankly, but all of a sudden I heard a strange fluttering sound in my right ear. If you kind of imagine, like, if a bird was, or say a super large hummingbird or something was flapping its wings right next to your ear, that's what I was hearing for a half a second or so. And then, I kid you not, I heard a voice that said, "Everything is going to be okay." And I certainly didn't say it. I didn't think it. It came out of the blue. Regarding the voice itself, I guess I could say it was compassionate, but wasn't really, I couldn't say whether it was male or female. And so, of course, the first thing I did was ask the people in the room with me, did one of you just say something to me just now? And to this day, they all swear up and down that none of them had uttered a single word in my direction. So sure enough, I after that, I did find the recordings. They weren't missing at all. I don't know what happened the first time I looked, but there they were. And, you know, that was basically the event. Looking back on it, I guess I should say I've never once heard voices in my head before that day, and I still haven't. And it's been now, what, about 12 years later. And so I don't think it was some kind of auditory hallucination, but I think it was some kind of telepathic communication. But from whom, I don't know if it was from Paul's guides, or was maybe my own spirit guides, or my higher self, or what. But that's what happened, and that's the first and only time that I've had that kind of, I guess we could call it, telepathic communication. So that was the first odd thing that's ever happened to me. And then sometime in 2011, and again, I apologize about not having the full dates for these first two stories, but sometimes around 2011, I was asleep in bed. I really don't know what time it was, but I suddenly woke up from sleep, and I couldn't move. I felt like I was being held down, and there were some kind of multiple beings of some kind. I got the impression of the typical grays. There's maybe three or four of them, that were restraining me somehow. I still don't know how they did it. So I was struggling to raise myself out of bed because, you know, I just didn't like the feeling of being restrained. And I didn't really feel any kind of aggression or malevolence or anything like that coming from them. In fact, I didn't feel anything coming from them. But as much as I struggled, I wasn't able to raise myself up out of bed. And I guess they got kind of tired of me struggling. And so one of them reached out his hand or its hand, in which it held a small, I would call it like a long, very long pencil, like a small metallic looking tube, maybe 7 or 8 inches or so in length. And he touched my forehead with that, and I was out. That's the last thing that I remember. And I just woke up normally the next morning. So, you know, this one for me is halfway in the very questionable category. Of course, part of me thinks, well, it was just an odd dream. But on the other hand, I can't think of very many, if any, dreams that I still remember, you know, that many years later. But I still do remember this one. And it was, you know, it was certainly something I'm not going to forget, I don't think. See, okay. And so, and then the last thing I'd like to tell you about, it occurred. Now this one I actually do have a date for, because I wrote it down. I wrote down the story of what happened to me afterwards. I think it was the next day. I don't think it was the same day. I think it was the next day. And it was in 2011, November 23rd, so around Thanksgiving time. It was around 7:15 here in the evening, and it was already starting to get dark. I was driving. Home, and so I drove up to where I live, and I was parking the car on the residential street, and I was just getting out of my car to walk towards our townhouse. And as I was walking from the car, I looked to my left across our residential street, and there, I'd say it was just right across the street, you know, floating over the neighbor's house, no more than about 50 feet above their roof, was a large diamond-shaped, we'll call it an object for now. It had a horizontal line going through from the left-hand corner to the right-hand corner, if you can visualize that. And it had some round color lights in at least two of the corners, but I don't remember a lot of details about the lights. There was no sound at all coming from it. It was just floating there. And it was quite large, I'd have to say. I mean, I guess I would kind of estimate, like, if you think about a standard two-car garage, it was at least that large and probably much larger floating over the house. It was very hard to tell. In terms of the color or the there were no markings or anything. It was self-illuminated. It was what I call a space gray in color. It's kind of that, like if you look at Star Trek or something and they show the spaceships, and it was kind of that grayish, light gray color, almost a plasticky kind of feel to it, because the light was coming. It was like there was light inside, I guess I would say, and it was just emanating from it. So, you know, obviously I was, this is not something I've ever seen, particularly this close. I mean, I was literally, what is the width of a residential street, 25 feet or something. And then it was right above the neighbor's house there. I wasn't frightened at all. I think I might have even tried to mentally send a greeting of some kind, but I didn't get any kind of reaction. I just stood there, and you know, as funny as the image is, my mouth was just open. I mean, a gape, you know. I must have looked really, really silly, but I mean, this was just so unusual. I had my my phone with me, my iPhone with me. And I did briefly think about trying to get a picture or a video, but at the time I had a feeling that, oh, it's not going to come out because it was too dark, and you know, the phones don't do well in the dark. But what I can't explain is why, I mean, logically, I mean, I should have at least tried, and I think I would have stood a fair chance, since, you know, this wasn't like a light in the sky, you know, many miles away. This was, you know, very, very up close. I think I stood some kind of chance anyways of capturing something in that image, but for some reason I just decided not to. Sometimes I think about, was that decision my own, or was it influenced somehow? I don't know. So because I was standing directly in front of it, and it was face on to me, I saw the front of it, but I couldn't see much of the, or practically any of the sides. So I thought, you know, I'd like to get a better view of this and see if maybe it's actually set further back, maybe slightly behind that my neighbor's house. So I thought, well, you know what I'll do is I'll get in my car and I'll just drive a little bit down the street and see if I can get kind of a sideway view. But when I did that and I looked back up, it was gone. There was nothing there, which was frustrating. I would have liked to be able to have captured more details. So, you know, that's basically the story of, I mean, I call it a UFO. I know other people have reported diamond-shaped UFOs, and some people I've talked to have suggested it was a triangle, but I can tell you it definitely was not. A triangle is very different in shape than a three-dimensional huge diamond floating, whatever it was. So yeah, that's my story.
Good job, Steve. Now, obviously this depends on the type of relationship you have with your neighbors. Did it ever occur to you to maybe knock on their door and say to them, say, listen, I saw this above your house?
It did. Well, it sort of did occur to me. What I did is I wanted to take a photograph of my approximate position and of the house so that I could kind of have that documentation. But they saw me taking the picture on the iPhone, and they came out and they were not happy. You know, they were asking what I was doing and why I was taking a picture of their house. And so, you know, that didn't result in any opportunity to explain what was going on, which is unfortunate. But yeah, that would have been nice.
It makes you wonder whether this object was there for them or was just maybe just observing the street.
Yeah, I mean, that thought occurred to me, like, it was there some kind of contact happening in that house, or maybe one very close by. I have no idea, but I think I sent you a couple of pictures of a diamond shaped craft that were similar to what I saw. I think I sent that to you, didn't I?
You have, yeah, and I'll put them on the website so that the listeners can go and have a look.
Cool.
Yeah, it's a shame that they were a little bit hostile. Understandable, you know, if you're taking pictures of their house.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, you could have learned maybe they'd had experiences themselves, but chances are they may not. Either they haven't or they may not remember. But, yeah, I mean, usually when they do have such close proximity with houses, there is usually some kind of activity going on.
Yeah, I agree with you. That was a lost opportunity. Absolutely.
Well, maybe, but you know, the fact that you didn't take a picture, and that is something I hear time and time again. And to be honest, taking out your phone and getting a picture is not the first thing you think of. It certainly isn't for me. And I do think there is some kind of influence that does happen where it suggests that maybe don't take the picture out. And a lot of times when people do take a picture, it doesn't come out.
Right. And I think also a part of me didn't want to take my eyes off the thing, you know, because it was just so unbelievable. I'll share with you one more detail that has bothered me since that day, and that is when I think back on it. Now, granted, you know, this was 2011, so that's over 10 years ago. When I think back on it, it doesn't, how I describe it is, it doesn't sit in my memory as a normal memory. It has a dreamlike quality to it. But I argue with myself. Obviously, I wasn't dreaming. I had just driven the car, and I drove the car during the incident, you know, to see if I could see the other side. So I was clearly awake, but why does it not feel like a normal memory? I mean, I think if I let it, I could almost let it completely fade from memory. That is a weird aspect to this that I don't really understand. I've talked to a few other people that have had sightings and encounters, and some of them talk about having experienced the same kind of dreamlike sensation upon looking back. It's still an aspect that I question what might cause that. Is that related to some kind of time distortion? Is it because it's not actually happening in the 3D physical, you know, that was that a peek into another dimension, little aspect? I don't know.
But you think it did physically happen?
Oh, it absolutely physically was a real experience. You know, if someone else were standing there, I'm 100% positive that they would have seen it along with me. My sense of it now is that it was something that I was meant to see. But no, it's absolutely 100% a real event. But I cannot explain why it has that dreamlike aspect to it, which isn't, I mean, it goes against common sense. That should be the most strongest memory I have in my life, but it's not. It just isn't. It has a different quality to it. And it's something I'm still investigating, still talking to people about, you know, what their opinions are. What do you think?
Yeah, it's an unusual one. I mean, bearing in mind, you know, if you're relatively close to these things, you know, they do have certain effects, which is going to affect yourself and sometimes the environment, and it could just be kind of like an offshoot of that, maybe. How did it actually feel the experience itself? Did it feel okay? Was it exciting? What kind of emotion did you, especially when you were trying to remember back?
It was in a way, because, you know, something like that isn't supposed to exist. I mean, I've had an interest in UFOs since I was a teenager, but actually seeing something like that, you know, that's not supposed to be there in the sky in our normal daily life is pretty awe-inspiring. There is a feeling of frustration that there wasn't any communication or further contact, and I'm left with of wanting more, you know, and maybe, I don't know, that story I was telling you about waking up and being restrained by what looked like grays, maybe that has something to do with why I was allowed or shown or let's say why I experienced the diamond-shaped UFO, but I don't know. There wasn't any missing time involved in the UFO experience. It was just probably the most awe-inspiring, unusual event of my life. I think I can say that pretty firmly.
Maybe there was more of a communication and maybe you just don't realize it or can't remember it. I mean, seeing as you had the experience in the bedroom, and then you had this sighting.
Yeah.
You know, the odds are that they are connected. I would say in some way, but they would be. They kind of feel like they probably are directly related.
Yeah, you know, I would think so, but isn't it? I would think that people that have these encounters, don't they have usually more than one? You know, like if you with the Greys, for instance.
Well, it depends. Or, some people will have one and then just don't completely remember the rest, and then several weeks later, I'll then get an email saying, actually, you know, I was talking to my mother and she said this happened when I was a child. So then you look back and there will be several things that have happened over time.
Hmm. It
really does all depend on the individual.
Well, I would certainly be interested in having more experiences. I mean, I know not everyone's experiences have been 100% positive, but I just think it's such an opportunity. I would love to have more, but it's been a fair amount of time now, and nothing further has occurred, but I hope it will someday. I hope it will.
A lot of people that have the more negative experiences, they're usually the ones which have never had any interest. Not only never had an interest, they've just got no idea about this type of thing. So when they do have these experiences, excuse the pun, it's completely alien to them, alien to their lives. You know, basically they're not supposed to exist. Mm. They only belong in science fiction films. So they have these experiences and then they have all the emotions, you know, they have the fear, the anxiety. And they're usually the people which have the negative ones. The people which are more open to these type of experiences, you know, they usually have the slightly more positive ones. I don't think there's anything really positive about beings coming into your house in the middle of the night when you're at the most vulnerable. But right. Still, you know.
I mean, if they would have said to me, "Hey, you want to go up to the ship for a while?" Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, but there was I don't think that happened. At least I don't remember anything like that happening. So yeah, that was that.
So the incident in your bedroom, you were lying you were lying on your back, and then you woke up and you couldn't move your body, completely paralyzed.
Yeah. Well, if you can imagine the feeling of and I didn't see any hands, but like hands pressing down on your chest, pressing you down back onto the bed while you're trying to struggle to raise yourself up. That was kind of the feeling, you know. I've heard about this sleep paralysis, of course, but I don't think it was that. I really don't. It's something tells me that there's something quite different going on.
And you had a full visual, three or four beings.
Well, I have to say that it wasn't a clear visual because, you know, I had been woken up, and it was all still kind of I don't want to say hazy, but you know, my eyes hadn't even had a chance to really focus yet. But I mean, I was aware enough that I knew that there were beings of some kind, you know, probably Greys there, but I didn't have time to or have the opportunity to really look at them closely. It was more the impressions of an overall shape. But then again, I did see the hand holding the wand or pencil-like thing clear enough. I saw that, but that's the last thing that I can recall.
Do you remember how the hand was holding it?
Kind of like how a conductor holds a baton, sort of with three fingers or so, you know, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, so the thumb and the first two fingers.
Yeah, the thumb on the bottom, and then the first two, maybe there was a third finger on top, I don't know. But yeah, the thumb on the bottom, and then held it, I guess, I would say pretty lightly in the hand. If I could have moved my arms, I could have easily grabbed it. And who knows what kind of shock or anything I would have gotten if I touched it. But yeah, that's how they were holding it.
And as soon as the As soon as it touched, the tip touched your forehead. That was it. That's
That was it.
Yeah, you don't remember anything else.
Nope, nope. That's it. The next thing I recall is waking up the next morning.
Do you remember how you felt?
It wasn't. I could tell you, it wasn't. Oh my God, what just happened? It was more like, did something happen? What happened last night? Something happened. And I had to think about it a little bit, I think. But, within a few seconds, it came back to me. But it wasn't like I woke startled and having in the front of my mind, oh my God, I've just been restrained, or I just had an encounter. It was just kind of like waking up pretty normally. And then a few seconds later, realizing, oh my God, something odd happened. What was it? Oh, and then I recalled it. And that's why, for a long time, I've told people up front that I was 90% sure that it was a dream. But these days, I'm not so positive about it. Number one reason is because I normally don't recall dreams that, 10 or 11 years ago. They just fade away. I don't know. I just, something tells me that it's, that it wasn't a dream.
And is it something you'd like to, of course everyone wants answers, but is it something you'd like to explore further?
Yeah. I tried having a QHHT, if you're familiar with that, regression hypnotic session, but it didn't work. I didn't get anything. I mean, the whole session didn't really work for me. So yeah, I would be interested in having more insight into actually both of those, both the waking up with the beings and the diamond shape incident, just to see if there's anything that happened that I'm not recalling, any particular details about the craft that I don't recall. Yeah. So absolutely, I'd be interested in something like that.
Yeah, it might be worth just kind of poking around a little bit, and maybe, yeah, you may get some more details.
What's your honest impression of the Graves in the Bedroom incident? What are your thoughts about that?
It's not unusual to have just one experience, but usually if someone's had one experience, then there is definitely room for thought that they have had past experiences, and especially age-wise. A lot of these experiences were starting in childhood. Sometimes they start in the teenage years and sometimes in the 30s. And it all depends, again, it depends on the individual and what their experiences are.
Well, I was in my 50s when this started. Now around the same time is when I was really getting more and more into my spiritual work, studying and so on. And so I've always thought that consciousness has a lot to do with these kind of things. But, I think consciousness had something to do with the diamond crafted shape in terms of how I was able to see it. And maybe even in terms of its own, the physicality of the craft itself, that it, something makes me think that they're not 100% necessarily materialistic, that they can take material, that energize down into a material form, right? But that they can also travel as pure energy. But that's just something, that I've come across over the years in terms of just general research.
That's right. I mean, back in the days where it was the belief, it was just they're all just nuts and bolts. And that's a term which is used over and over again, nuts and bolts. But there is another side to it. There is the conscious side of it. Unfortunately, a lot of researchers, they don't really accept that. They either stay on this side or that side of the fence. But there's a reason why I have so many different of the subjects I do on the show, because I think in some respects they are connected. Especially the paranormal side, I'm seeing people having paranormal experiences and having these alien encounters as well.
Yeah.
And down the other side of the spectrum, I got Bigfoot encounters where people are reporting strange lights in the forest. So
I had the opportunity. Have you heard of John Ramirez? He's a he worked for the CIA for many years, and he's been out recently over the past year talking about some of the information that he came across. But I had a chance to talk to him because I have somewhat of a similar background when I was in the Air Force. And so I wanted to talk to him about his experiences, because he's had encounters and he's been taken aboard aboard a craft. And he and I were talking about how these craft travel, not even by the speed of at the speed of light, but more at the speed of thought. He said that that's why until we can wrap around our minds around this consciousness aspect, that we'll never really understand the, you know, the UFO, quote unquote, reality.
That's exactly it. You know, a lot of people, they look at these things in that, in, you know, in human terms. So the way we fly planes, the way we drive cars, you know, the way we drive ships.
Yes.
But their way is going to be a little bit different, and you'd certainly expect a lot more advanced. So when people say, you know, or the distance between galaxies and all that, you know, I think that's, people should
it's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
And I also really don't like the way that our government and particularly the military always frames everything in terms of a threat. And really, you'd be hard pressed to really demonstrate an actual threat posed by these UFOs. Now, have they interfered with our nuclear ballistic missiles? Yeah, but I think that was actually to help us, not to threaten us. You know, I think they were just demonstrating foolishness of A, having these weapons, and B, even contemplating the possibility of someday using them.
Yeah, it's like taking matches off a child, isn't it? I mean, that's what they were doing.
Yes, absolutely. That's probably the greatest example, you know, that I could give, is the matches to the child.
Are you intrigued by Paranormal Talk Radio? You'll love the new Paranormal Radio app from TalkStream Live. You'll find a great selection of talk shows covering UFOs, ghosts, strange phenomena, and much more. Download the Paranormal Radio app now and start listening to the very best in paranormal talk entertainment, including the network you're listening to right now, the Paranormal Radio app, free in Google Play and the iOS App Store.
So, yeah, you know, I've started a blog recently. I was encouraged to start documenting my thoughts. And I resisted for a few years because I thought, well, you know, I'd love to share more about this stuff, but, you know, I'm not a psychic. I'm not a channeler. You know, I just had these few experiences. What good would a website like that be? What use would that be to anyone? But I was encouraged to think more of saying, you know, coming at it from the viewpoint of, hey, you know what? I'm not an expert. I'm not a guru. I'm not a channeler. I'm not any of that. I'm just a normal guy who's had these odd experiences, you know, and here's what happened. And here's some of my thoughts and some of my self-doubt, you know, and what questions about what happened, and take it for what you will. And hopefully it's of use to somebody. And so that's kind of what I've been doing over the last 4 weeks ago, something like that.
It is always good to put your thoughts and your experiences down somewhere, whether it's on paper in a book or on a blog or a website. Do you have you got the address to that?
Yeah, it's souladventure.love. So it's a souladventure, one word. Love.
Got it. What I'll do is I'll put a link in the description with the episode so people can go and check it out, Steve.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I appreciate that very much.
People do like to, you know, after listening to the show, they like to perhaps, you know, try and get a little bit more information if it's available. It's not, we don't always have stuff which is available, you know, but sometimes we do. So yeah, because sometimes it'd be like experiences and they got photographs and videos and maps and drawings and you name it. So it accompanies it. So it's nice.
Yeah, but the illustration of the diamond shaped craft, that's up there on the website, and I tell the story there. But yeah, I'm hoping to be a supportive part of the community, put it that way.
And it's ever growing, Steve. I say this over and over. Absolutely. Again. You know, people have these experiences all over the world, and they're having them every day. A lot of people don't confide in anyone, you know, so a lot of these accounts, they go completely unheard. So,
well, I get it. I get the reason why, you know. I mean, one thing I didn't mention is when I, after the diamond incident, when I parked my car again and then I went home, I live with my mom and dad. My dad has passed on since then, but so I walk in the house and of course, you know, I say, you'll never believe what, you know, what just happened. And my dad, you know, he's of that generation. It's like, whatever. He just kind of ignored it. It's like he didn't even hear me half the time. You know, he just kind of, it totally didn't make an impact on him at all. And my mom was kind of the same way. You know, she never asked about it. You know, you would think, I would just think that if somebody came up to me and said, hey, you know, I just saw a huge floating diamond floating above a neighbor's house, that you at least go, what? No reaction.
No reaction. Just, I'll be quiet. Go wash your hands. It's time for dinner.
Exactly. It's like, so I went to I got back in my car, went to Starbucks and told somebody there, you know, because I want, and they also, first they looked at me strange, but then one of them says, you know what, I was with my girlfriend. She was driving me here to work. And she says she saw two purple lights in the sky. I said, well, that's weird. But, I mean, I didn't notice any kind of purplish color, in my encounter, but you know, maybe if it's flying, it's has different energies or auras around it. I don't know. But that's the most, I think the most common reaction people get is to these kind of stories is disbelief. Although it's changing. It is changing.
But yeah, people get that off friends, family members, where people just kind of just shrug it off. Just go, yeah, okay. Like it's nothing. Yeah.
like it's nothing, right?
Like it's nothing.
I mean, it's like the biggest, let's say, you know, they're not going to do this, but let's say a craft landed on the White House lawn. Wouldn't that be? And they got out, you know, and they showed themselves. They said, hi, everybody. What's up? Wouldn't that be the biggest story in the last 2000 years?
It would be.
Probably where the general public, maybe it's a little early for them. But I think there's a lot of us that I don't think there would be worldwide panic. I think there'd be a fair amount of people that would basically go, well, of course. Now, what did you think?
See, this is a very difficult one. And when you were saying about the military and always using things as a threat, I mean,
as a threat. Yeah.
I mean, I think that's the direction they will be heading with this. And, you know, all you got to do is look at history. You know, there's always been a fear. And I think the military collective governments will probably use this as probably an excuse to weaponize space.
Yeah.
That's the way I reckon. Yeah. You know, people are saying about disclosure and, you know, this is all going to happen and we're all going to get the answers. I don't think we will get the answers. I think it will be used to someone's advantage.
I know. I mean, you could tell by the direction of the initial reports coming out of that organization here in the United States. They're not going to be really sharing anything. I mean, that report is so silly. It just ignores the thousands upon thousands of reports from police officers, military people, judges, you know, very reputable people of seeing things like that. And they act like, oh, none of that really matters. And, you know, we have pretty impressive photographic radar technology. You know that they have pictures and video way more impressive than these silly Tic Tac videos that, you know, you can barely tell that it's anything. they're still holding on to the good stuff. And I don't think they want to let that go yet, because how could they admit that they've been lying to us for 70 plus years?
They've already taken a hit because they're already showing that, you know, they can't defend us. You know, they can't control what's in the skies. They're already showing weakness as it is.
Yeah.
And, you know, they do know what they're doing. You know, the information that's coming out is only what they want us to know. You know, so we're never going to get the good, well, we may one day get the good stuff, but I think that will come from the public. I don't think it will yes. come from the ones, you know, making all the decisions.
No, I agree with you. I think somebody is going to one day, I'm surprised it hasn't happened yet, with all the cameras that are around, you know, that we're going to get some pretty impressive proof. But again, you know, it's a fair argument to make to say you can't really trust any video or any photograph. It can so easily be fake.
Absolutely, yeah. And it goes again the same with eyes. You know, if someone said they've seen something, there's only someone that can say, oh, well, that didn't happen, or you were mistaken, or you saw a street light or that, you know. But the people I speak to, you know, these events happened. They experienced something.
And what proof can I offer you? Well, none, you know, really. I mean, you have my word, you have my experience, you know, but there's no proof in the traditional sense. But, you know, people go to jail every day based upon the testimony of what witnesses say they saw. But in this area, witnesses don't seem to be very well given the respect or the credit that they should be given. Even when I did the documentary that I mentioned, I immediately got negative feedback, like, this is all BS, this person is mentally ill, that I was taking advantage of a mentally ill person for money, you know? And I kept thinking, well, what money? You know, I didn't make a dime. In fact, I lost money. You know, I invested money, I guess you might say, in the project. It was just a passion project, you know. But people immediately think, oh yeah, you know, you got some ulterior motive. It's like these silly debunkers that don't even research the topic and come up with the most bizarre explanations for events. Drives me nuts.
You remember Philip Glass?
Oh, well, he's the kind of the progenitor of that whole thing. I mean, like he's the number one name in debunkers. You know, it's clear that he was being paid to do that. But I mean, they take it to the point where they will insult and slur anybody, you know, just to try and keep the lid on it. And it's really, I wish we were better sometime to each other, right?
Well, I used to see that now and again on UK TV as well, where you'd have someone talking about their experience, and then you'd have, they'd always bring on a skeptic, and this guy would usually be a psychiatrist or something like that. And this guy would just flat out say, no, that's not what happened. And of course, that would be listened to, wouldn't it? You would completely overshadow the person's experience. And there's absolutely no need for it. There's no need for it. I mean, that's particularly why I don't, when I have people on here, I don't try and pick holes in their account, because their account is, you know, it is what it is. So that's why I kind of would completely go down a different road with this.
No, and that's why your show is so popular. I mean, I don't know the statistics, but I get the impression that yours is probably the number one or number two show or podcast on the UFO topic. And I think that's a big reason why.
I wouldn't say I'm number one, but I'm usually mentioned with about five or six other UFO podcasts, but I don't look at myself as a UFO podcast, even though I have that in the name.
Right.
But I like to cover a few other subjects, and I try and stick in my own lane as well. You know, I don't really mix, even though I'm friends with the other shows and we do coordinate and stuff and network. I don't go on to other shows and all that kind of, I don't do that. They all do that.
I think it's great. I love listening to you guys and your show in particular, just as we talked about, just because you don't interrupt, you know, and you let people explain their experiences, and, you know, there's no editorializing really. there's questioning, and that's fair, you know.
Yeah, more positive feedback than I do negative. I get very, very little negative feedback. And that's usually because people expect, they're too used to listening to other shows. So they expect that format to be, you know, completely across the board. And I didn't want to do that. I wanted it to be completely different, you know, and people are happy about it. I get so many emails from people saying, oh, thank you for, you know, for having that person on, or thank you for the way you do things. You know, it's, that's good. That's my, for me, that's my reward.
Yeah, absolutely.
Steve, I really appreciate you coming on, sharing your experiences for our listeners.
No worries. And it's been great talking with you.
Yeah, you too, Steve. Keep in contact, okay? And I'll talk to you soon.
Will do. Bye-bye.
Take care, Steve. Thank you. That is all for today. Keep updated and connected with the show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you have an encounter that you'd like to share on the podcast, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com. Or you can reach out to me via the contact page on my website at ufochroniclespodcast.com. A big thank you to Eric and Steve for sharing tonight, and thank you all for listening. I will be back next week. Till then, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.